Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. All of Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, again for your word, the power, the grace, the light, the mercy, the blessing that rests upon your word. And thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed, empowered, and enriched as we simply spend time one-on-one with you, reading, studying, and meditating on your word. Thank you, Lord, for all of those that are part of our listening family. And thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for us as your church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first Help, thank you for all of us, Lord, again, and thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Again, help us as a nation, and help us all to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, again, for all those we mentioned then and that we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare, from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler, and so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Ose is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to serve you. Thank you for this this program, which we hope will enrich the lives of listeners. And God, I pray right now that we, even myself and Pastor Joseph, would be able to set aside the worries of the day for the time being and for the next little while, just to bask in the truth and the power of your word, and to grow in it. Your word is truth, and Lord God, we thank you for it. I thank you for Pastor Joseph, and again for the opportunity to work here at AFR and with men like Pastor Joseph for your purposes, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we share articles that we encourage you to email us to get copies of as tools for your personal growth, tools to use for the discipleship of your family, and tools to share with fellow church members, fellow family members, saved and unsaved persons as well. Please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. The following is an article from the AFA Stand entitled, Keep Your Focus on Jesus. What has your attention? What are you looking at? What is occupying the quote-unquote stage of your mind? What do you spend time thinking about, mulling over, reading, researching, and giving consideration to? Is it what's in the news? The headlines, the matters that news commentators are discussing? Are these the issues and matters that consume your time and attention mainly? Cell phones, laptops, iPads, and video games all transport people into their own private worlds. People are therefore often oblivious to, or at least highly distracted from, the immediate world that they are in physically at the moment, scrolling, scrolling, scrolling along. Topics, issues, events, tragedies, and celebrities often grab and hold the attention of many in our culture, world, and even in the church. Electronic devices, gadgets, and the desire to get the latest version too often seem to command and quote-unquote control much of our time, lives, and attention. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we find an interesting story in the life of Jesus about a distracted person. The Lord Jesus is visiting the home of Martha and Mary. As many would expect, Martha is busy carrying out the responsibilities that a hostess was expected to do for guests, probably cooking, cleaning, and the like. However, her sister Mary was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Who was distracted, Martha or Mary? The Word of God gives the answer very plainly. It says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to have your mind and attention pulled away from the more important thing or things. The scripture in this passage lets us know that Mary is acting more wisely than Martha. Mary is commended, not Martha. Mary is acting wisely as she makes it her priority to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. But Martha was distracted. In other words, Martha's mind and thinking were not focused on the more important thing in the situation, which was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, and simply spending time with him. A simple yet profound truth found in this humble yet powerful story is this: spending time with God and seeking his wisdom is to be one of the high priorities of life for a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Once we're saved, our most important goal in life is to faithfully and diligently run after God. Just how do we do that? You run after God by sitting at his feet every day. We sit at the feet of Jesus by living a lifestyle of spending time daily reading and meditating on the Word of God, by spending significant time in prayer, and by obeying what we read and receive from God. Knowing and following him is living a lifestyle of faith, and we're told in Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Why don't we seek to be wise like Mary? Why don't we make it a goal to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus every day? Let's run after him by sitting at his feet, listening, learning, growing, and following. If we're not careful, we can allow the world to set our agenda and our priorities as we listen to what it decides are the headlines of our times. If we focus and concentrate on what the world is focused on, we can miss God's voice, his priorities, and his agenda. We can be living distracted lives and not even realize it. As we live at the feet of Jesus, we will not live a distracted life. We will not live a life full of wasting time reading and learning about men who want to be women, people who want to change colors, what celebrities are wearing at a given event, etc. Instead, at Jesus' feet, he can teach us what is important and what's not. He can teach us what's true and what's false. He can teach us what's right and what's wrong. There we learn what is in the heart of God. And know that staying focused on God, on God-ordained priorities, is not just important, it's crucial. It's critical to everything in life. Seek to develop spiritual habits that help you focus on God. Make them a part of your daily life. Read 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Pray daily, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying the 10 Commandments, and praying about important issues in life. Obey what you learn from the Word of God. Spiritual habits help you to keep your focus on Christ and the will of the Lord. Watch out for the weapons of mass distraction. They seem to be everywhere. Learn to focus your time, energy, and concern on what is important. Spend time every day running after the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste your time. Wasted time is wasted life. Sit at the feet of Jesus and let him set your agenda rather than the world. Again, the title of that article is Keep Your Focus on Jesus. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Please get it, and again, use it for you and your family, but share it, forward it far and wide to those you think could be, whose lives could be touched as they take the time to read and think on it. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have every day of our lives of being able to open your word and spend time sitting at your feet, listening to you as you pour grace, peace, wisdom, joy, and strength into our hearts and our minds as we simply read and meditate on your word. Help us to be wise enough to make this the priority you want us to make it in our lives. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be faithful to do that every day. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying individuals and the praying church you've called us to be. Thank you for that privilege, that opportunity we have every day of our lives. And anoint us as families afresh with the spirit of prayer as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near me. Brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm.
From the Walls Group with All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 27, picking up at verse 13. Maharai, a descendant of Zerah of Netophah, was commander of the 10th division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 10th month. Benaiah from Pirathon in Ephraim was commander of the 11th division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 11th month. Heled, a descendant of Othniel from Netophah, was commander of the 12th division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 12th month. The following were the tribes of Israel and their leaders: Reuben, Eleazar, son of Zichri; Simeon, Shephatiah, son of Maacah; Levi, Hashabiah, son of Kemuel; Aaron the priest, Zadok; Judah, Elihu, a brother of David; Issachar, Omri, son of Michael; Zebulun, Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah; Naphtali, Jeremoth, son of Azrael; Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Azaziah; Manasseh west, Joel, son of Pedaiah; Manasseh in Gilead east, Iddo, son of Zechariah; Benjamin, Jaasiel, son of Abner; Dan, Azarel, son of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. When David took his census, he did not count those who were younger than 20 years of age, because the Lord had promised to make the Israelites as numerous as the stars in heaven. Joab, son of Zeruiah, began the census but never finished it because the anger of God fell on Israel. The total number was never recorded in King David's official records. Azmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the palace treasuries. Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the regional treasuries throughout the towns, villages, and fortresses of Israel. Ezrai, son of Caleb, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the king's lands. Shimei from Ramah was in charge of the king's vineyards. Zabdi from Shepham was responsible for the grapes and the supplies of wine. Baal-Hanan from Gedor was in charge of the king's olive groves and sycamore fig trees in the foothills of Judah. Joash was responsible for the supplies of olive oil. Shitrai from Sharon was in charge of the cattle on the Sharon Plain. Shaphat, son of Adlai, was responsible for the cattle in the valleys. Obile the Ishmaelite was in charge of the camels. Jediah from Meronoth was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz the Hagrite was in charge of the king's flock of sheep and goats. All these officials were overseers of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a wise counselor to the king, a man of great insight and a scribe. Jehiel the Hakmonite was responsible for teaching the king's sons. Ahithophel was the royal advisor. Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and by Abiathar. Joab was commander of the king's army. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David summoned all the officials of Israel to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions, the other generals and captains, the overseers of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the other brave warriors in the kingdom. David rose to his feet and said, "My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from among the families of Judah he chose my father's family. And from among my family, and from among my father's sons, the Lord was pleased to make me king over all Israel. And from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel to rule over the Lord's kingdom. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. And if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever.' So now, with God as our witness and in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Then David gave Solomon the plans for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry room, the storeroom, the upstairs rooms, the inner rooms, and the inner sanctuary, which was the place of atonement. David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards of the Lord's temple, the outside rooms, the treasuries, and the rooms for the gifts dedicated to the Lord. The king also gave Solomon the instructions concerning the work of the various divisions of priests and Levites in the temple of the Lord. And he gave specifications for the items in the temple that were to be used for worship. David gave instructions regarding how much gold and silver should be used to make the items needed for service. He told Solomon the amount of gold needed for the gold lampstands and lamps, and the amount of silver for the silver lampstands and lamps, depending on how each would be used. He designed the amount of gold for the table on which the bread of the presence would be placed, and the amount of silver for other tables. David also designated the amount of gold for the solid gold meat hooks used to handle the sacrificial meat and for the basins, pitchers, and dishes, as well as the amount of silver for every dish. He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the officials and the entire nation are at your command." 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I've gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today?" Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. "O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Reading that verse again. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers, in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. Verses 1 through 15, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up reading in the New Testament in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but for the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. The old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new, Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, "I am living in the light," but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I'm writing to you who are God's children, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children, because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when He returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. 1 John chapter 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him or understand who He is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God, who are children of God, and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him, and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave lives in us. 1 John, end of 1 John chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, again for Your Word. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to open Your Word every day and be able to spend time one-on-one with You. Lord, thank You for how that as we read and meditate on Your Word, You pour grace, peace, power, life, strength, joy, and encouragement into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to grow in our understanding of how valuable that is, how important that is, and what a priority that needs to be for us as individual believers. And help us as parents and grandparents who work with and mold and shape children, help us to be wise enough to teach and train them to read the Word of God out loud to us so that they too can fill their hearts and their minds with Your Word as well. Help us, Lord, and teach us how to fill our lives and our world with Your Word and Your Spirit, and help us to live and move in the power of the Holy Spirit more and more. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of prayer and stir us more and more to be the house of prayer, the church You've called us to be, Lord. And finally, Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that The prayer of faith is a currency of heaven, and we can pray and make ourselves rich. Help us and teach us and empower us to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to be saved, if you want to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an eternal love. You loved us so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily, faithfully. Help me to pray daily, and help me to obey your word and your Spirit daily as a lifestyle. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk and relationship with Christ, putting roots down deep in your new relationship with Him. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We want to be in touch with you. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get a copy of the article we shared earlier entitled Keep Your Focus on Jesus, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.